flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Tis a good morning indeed, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Welcome in! The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. How do you do? Upstate South Carolina. What's up, America? Howdy, world. Great to be with you. Welcome back. Welcome in. Welcome here. Various other welcomes as necessitated to all of you. I am Rob Brown. The pleasure is mine. Not mine alone, however, because on the other side of the metaphorical glass, the guy in charge of this radio program, every radio program that you've ever enjoyed, ladies and gentlemen, say hello to the great one, Lonzo. Word, dog.
How much snow did you get?
Okay. So, I was downtown yesterday afternoon. Went and met a buddy.
Downtown?
I hate you so much because you know what you did. You know what you did, and you didn't need to do it, but you did it anyway.
You didn't fall into the sky, so you're here.
Make a moment. I was downtown yesterday. Went and met a buddy for a frosty beverage, and it was in the afternoon, and we were inside, and then we walked outside, and while we were inside, I'll show you this great one. My old hometown of Pensacola, Florida.
Oh, I know, I saw, but yeah, I mean these are home photos. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
This great one. This is my mother's backyard.
Cool.
She lives a mile from the beach.
Are those okay. Beach chairs?
They are. They are Adirondack beach chairs, and they're freaking glorious.
And covered in snow.
Yep.
That's weird.
Not freaking glorious yesterday. It blizzarded in Pensacola. And so I'm sitting in a chair downtown, and my mom, my little brother, his wife, my little nephew, they all live down there. And when the snow started a falling in Pensacola, they had no idea. Dude, they didn't get like a full foot of snow, but they got like a solid 7-8 inches of snow down there. It was snow. It was real snow. Like snow. Like, oh, hell, snow. Snow. And so when it came down, it started with my Florida relatives who were out there in the snow. And you know that it's cold in the South because the wardrobes start getting like progressively more ridiculous, right? Like mismatched sweatpants and hoodies and a different color cap because they don't have that kind of cold weather. I'm not talking about like what you'd wear day to day, like your regular
daily. I mismatched today on purpose. So, I mean, you know, I mean, what goes with this color anyway?
Gray, most things.
I don't think it's gray. It's
you
like
could have worn red
it's
sweatpants.
Like a weird green.
You could have worn yellow sweatpants. You could have worn white.
Yeah, but I don't care. This was
That's
more
the answer.
This was more. I was wearing this. I was going to take it off, and I just haven't done it yet. You know, it was an extra layer of clothing because of what was going on outside.
So I got my little brother in like a Bucky's hat and like a red Bucky's hat and like a black Saints hoodie and like blue sweats. Right, they're just all over the map because they don't own oh crap, it's going to snow 7 inches close.
By the way, you don't have to look good in the snow, man. I mean,
no, I'm not saying you do.
You're making this about fashion.
What I'm saying is, you know that these people aren't prepared for this when that's what they come out of the crib with. So I'm getting all the photos right at, I don't know, like 4 o'clock or so, 4:30. My little nephew outside, like catching snowflakes with his tongue. Get it, you know, a little while later, once the snow starts sticking, the snow angel photo, like all the fun stuff. And then, like an hour and 15 minutes later, I get a text from my brother off to the side out of the family chat where he's like, yo, bleep this. This sucks. I'm over. I'm done. In the group chat, my sister-in-law sends one and she's like, I hate everyone and everything. I they were miserable. And I send a text. And I'm like,
guys, they have heat? I suppose you got to have a little bit of heat.
Yeah, there, but right? Again, like it's that pervasive cold that you're just surrounded by it. And on top of all, and I suspect for them, the hate was more inspired by the fact that my nephew was like, I live outside now. This is awesome. I never want to come in. I'm throwing snowballs at anything that moves. I'm never coming back inside, which, yeah, no, I get it, dude. Right? He's six. He's like, this is the time of his life. So they're like, we hate it because we have been outside for like 5 straight hours and we're freezing our bits off and we hate it. So I text back and I'm like, oh, you guys, you live in Florida. When's the next time you're going to get to see? I live in South Carolina. I get to see snow like once every 2 years if I'm lucky. When's it? Not just see snow like, oh, it's snowing, but like, snow that sticks to the ground in quantity. Like, you can have a snowball fight. Do you want to build a snowman? Because you can. I'm like, you guys have this gift of this genuinely generational snowfall. This is a snowfall
like
that you
snow
are going
too,
to. It was great
way.
Snow.
Not,
it was powder.
Not that stuff that doesn't stick, but the kind of stuff that you can build stuff with.
There were videos outside of New Orleans of people snowboarding down the levees on the side of the Mississippi River. There's these, the Mississippi River in parts around, like outside of New Orleans, sits higher than the communities that are next to them, which is a big part of the issue with the flooding and Katrina and all that. But there are these big, you know, giant 15, 20 foot hills, and there were people snowboarding in Southeast Louisiana. It's wild.
Good for them.
They made the most of it, and I respect that. This is that, again, like once in a, I'm not even going to say generation. This is maybe like a twice in a lifetime kind of event. I'm like, go outside, enjoy it, throw snowballs, build a snowman, make snow angels, like make memories and take pictures because this, get a picture of your, this first thing I did a couple of years ago when we had the big thick snow. I took my camera and I went outside and I took pictures of our house covered in snow. We've printed a couple out and hung them on the wall because it's like, how cool is that? So I'm texting him and I'm like, guys, like, pardon me for being the eternal optimist that I am.
Wow.
Just the power of positivity that I am. But I'm like, you have this once in a generational gift. My dad lived in Fort Walton Beach for what? 30 years. And probably never saw snow like that. Like, take this moment in. Go down to the beach. There were videos of the beach in Destin, Florida. Now, what I love about Destin is that even covered in snow, the beach would look the exact same because the sand is snow white down there. But the point is, it was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, I watched the Weather Channel, and they were on one of the beaches with the white sand.
Yeah.
And the guy dug down to where the white sand was, and you couldn't tell the difference between that and the snow.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's like, with this opportunity. So I'm texting them, and I'm like, guys, you have this gift. You have this opportunity to go outside and make these memories with my little nephew that are going to last forever, right? That's going to be awesome. And then my buddy and I downtown finished a brewski, and I got up, and I walked outside, and it's not just bleeping snowing outside, but like the windshield of my car is white. It's covered. My car is covered. I didn't know it was going to snow, and I certainly didn't know it was going to. Now, I was downtown.
How did you not know it was going to snow?
Well, I knew they had called for it, but the last I had looked at it.
You've lived here long enough to know, yeah, okay, you're calling for it. Let's see what happens.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the last that I heard was, even if it was going to snow, it was going to be overnight. right? Like, it was going to be a night snow. As a matter of fact, kind of screwed me up because last night was a planetary convergence. Six planets lined up in a row with the moon. It was going to be this thing. The wife got me this really nice telescope for Christmas because I'm a dork. We were going to drive out somewhere and go use my new telescope to see the planets. And we're like, nah, it's going to be cold and it's going to snow. We better not drive around at night. I walk outside, cars covered in snow, streets starting to get covered in snow. And I look at it and I'm like, ah, crap. Damn it. Come on, man. You couldn't wait till I got home. Like, I immediately switched from, you guys have been given this gift, this opportunity to make these wonderful lights. Here I am in downtown Greenville, South Carolina. Here I am in this place that I love calling home, and it is beautiful downtown with the lights hanging in the trees and the people walking, and everything's turning white with snow, and it's like this beautiful moment, and I'm like, driving home's gonna suck. I'm going to hate everybody. And I did. And I'm going to tell you right now, if I ever get Lonzo, the power of Magneto to be able to lift a car off the interstate and hurl it into a ditch, there are going to be cars and ditches everywhere. People, it's a little bit of snow. You don't need to drive three wide down Wade Hampton Boulevard at 17 miles an hour. Okay? It's a little bit of snow. It's been snowing for 20 minutes, three wide down Wade Hampton Boulevard, and all three of them, not just doing the same speed, not a damn one of them is looking anywhere but shaking, looking straight ahead. Get out of my way, move. So my message of joy and wonder and amazement to my Florida family. I'm like, I'm almost jealous because I lived there for a very long time. I never got to experience this. Like, we got it snowed there, but it never stuck. You guys have, like, you could literally go snow skiing on your street. This is this amazing opportunity to go out there and enjoy yourself, and you're wasting it. You're wasting. You're gonna, if you don't go outside and play, you're gonna look back at this tomorrow when it all melts off and be like, oh, we should have taken that in. And the minute a flake falls from the sky and hits me on the nose, I'm like, damn it! No! This sucks. What are we doing?
Did you still have snow on the ground this morning?
I did at the house, actually. There's okay. Some on the ground outside the studio, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, little bits. I parked in part of it. We had about an inch, and I'm always concerned about getting out the driveway. I get out the driveway, I'm pretty good, and I made it out of the driveway. So, I mean,
the house.
When they say over the hill and through the woods, you know, uphill.
To Lonzo's house. Lonzo is grandma now.
Uphill and downhill twice. I got to do that. So, I made it up the first hill, I'm like, okay, I'm good. If I can make it up the second hill, I'm on the street. I'm good, and I did.
The wife and I, we live, unlike Lonzo, in civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And so
did that.
We
long,
live in
long,
a
long time ago.
We live in a neighborhood, but our neighborhood is on a hill, and so when you go down our driveway, it at the end of it, it kind of does like a big dip down to the street because where our house is built up on a hill. Not this last time, but the last time that it snowed, the one a couple of years ago, that little bump in the road froze over. And so when I was leaving, I was driving the Jeep back then. I was leaving the morning after, and boy, I slid down to the bottom of that hill. So now it's like a mild anxiety. But no, it was nice. I did take a minute after I got over my initial frustration of, oh God, if there's one thing, it's not the snow that I worry about. It's not the weather. It's not even the cold. Like, I'm good with the cold now. I don't love it, but, like, fine, I'll adapt to it. It's just people lose their bleeping minds behind the wheel of a car when they see a snowflake fall. Once I got over the initial, let's say, rage, because that's fair, of understanding the drive from downtown GVL, yeah, to my house in Taylor's was going to be a fist fight with a bunch of clowns on the road. Once I got over that, I did walk up and down Main Street a couple of times and just, like, enjoy that moment.
Oh, that's cool.
I found a coffee I like.
Oh, no.
You ready to judge the bleep out of me for it?
I already did.
Vanilla blonde latte, extra pump of vanilla.
Okay. All right. I don't know what possessed you other than it's a Hallmark moment outside. Let me drink coffee while walking downtown.
Because there's a the wife and I yesterday, there we got some stuff going on in the real world out here. which if you've seen me be a little scarce here and there, we got some stuff going on I'm taking care of right now. Nothing big. We're fine. Just stuff. And so yesterday, we had to go somewhere, and I had to pick her up. She's like, can we swing by Starbucks? It's cold. I'm like, yep, no worries. And she grabs one. I don't ever order anything from Starbucks. I'm not a coffee guy. She gets one, and she's like, you know what? Taste this. And I'm like, no. Nothing. No, I've never liked coffee. Not hot, not cold, not iced, none of them. And she goes, just shut up and taste this. And I'm like, all right. And I do. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty damn good. So yesterday, when I left the business downtown, because there was the Starbucks right there downtown, I went in and got one, Zoe. And listen, I wish I was kidding. I'm not. I pulled on my fluffy Sherpa jacket. Super comfy. Mm-hmm. All right. Super comfy.
Could you nap in it?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
I could have napped outside in it yesterday. It's so nice. Super warm, comfy, fluffy, a Sherpa jacket. I put on my little knit cap. Okay. I went in, I got my Starbucks, and I walked down Main Street in the snow, holding my warm coffee cup in both hands out front of me. All right. With my little shoulder bag hanging off me that had all my stuff in it. And as I walked down the road, I went, Lonzo's going to kill me. He's going to kill me because I am full hipster right now.
Wow. I wish someone took some video or pictures or something.
Full hipster.
I went the exact opposite yesterday. Lorenzo continued into the evening. When the snow fell, there wasn't a whole lot, but enough to where he could get stuff off a car. So I took the granddaughter out, but she didn't have her gloves with her. So I put those work gloves on her, you know, those really big ones. So she could barely get her fingers in them. So she couldn't make a snowball, and I could. So I just was hitting her with snowballs. And every time she would try to throw a snowball at me, the gloves would come off, and she'd have to go and get the gloves. So there we go. If you're going to be heel, I mean, you might heel for a day. Man. If she was having a blast.
Hey man, $1 million man, your own granddaughter. I get it.
Papa, can I use your gloves? Nope.
All of you may call Lonzo Papa the rest of the day.
I got your gloves. No, my daughter did that on purpose because that's the name I didn't want.
Checks out.
And it's my daughter.
Your daughter.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we've got to get to on the radio broadcast today, because yesterday, obviously, we were so dialed in on the finale of the 2024-25 college football season. And we can and will revisit the win in the Natty by the Buckeyes of Ohio State, but we'll kind of shift the angle around a little bit today and talk about how the Buckeyes ended up winning, because there was a debate raging yesterday on social media. And this is I think, really interesting time for college football. Because there were two debates that were raging yesterday. One of them took place between my Saturday co-host Cody Decker and his SiriusXM co-host Michelle Beadle. And I want to talk about that. Actually, I shouldn't even say that. They were on the same side. It was me against them. I had this fight with Cody Decker last Saturday, and it got brought up on their show this week. So we'll talk about that. And then there was a comment by Sam Acho that Joel Klatt teed off on. And I like Joel Klatt. He and I are in lockstep a lot of the time. This was the first time that I was like, get him! Get him! Haru-ru, get him, Joel! And I loved it. So we'll talk about that. We got to get some NFL because the coaching carousel spins, or in some cases it doesn't. Ben Johnson on his way to Chicago. The NFC North rival Minnesota has made their decision on Kevin O'Connell. I'll tell you what that is and a whole lot more. It is going to be a busy day on the show. Rob Alonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, is on the Fan Upstate.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ross Dellinger of YahooSports.com put up a very interesting article yesterday reporting that the SEC and the Big Ten athletic directors are expected to hold a second joint meeting next month where conference leaders are expected to, quote, deeply explore the future of the college football playoff format. The meeting is set for February 19th down in New Orleans, where the national championship game was played just a few days ago. And that meeting will come a week before the college football playoff commissioners meet in Dallas to discuss the future of the playoff, its format, and governance structure. Those with knowledge of the meeting, according to Ross Dellinger, spoke with anonymity to Yahoo Sports. They said there's a couple of things that are on the docket for this meeting. Dellinger said that the meeting marks a, quote, second step in the budding relationship between two leagues that announced the partnership last spring. Their athletic directors met in Nashville in October, a historic event and one of the first gatherings of two major conference administrators in recent NCAA history. We know what they talked about that back then. They talked about a couple of things. They talked about a potential future partnership between the two leagues that could or could not, we'll find out, include a bit of intra-conference scheduling in the football world. We have talked very frequently about the concept of out-of-conference schedules being weak for everybody, which creates a world in which if the entire conference is mid, but a conference only plays each other, there's no way for us to determine that they are mid until the college football playoffs. And at that point, we got 12 spots to lock in, and we might be shutting out if one conference is deeper than the other, or if there are some teams from lesser conferences, conferences that are just bad, but their team stands out, we may dismiss those. The thought behind that was, if we get a bunch of SEC teams and they play a bunch of Big Ten teams, we can use each other as a measuring stick and prove that these two conferences are indeed the top two dogs. That's not the aspect of this meeting on February 19th that I think is going to be most important. There are two sentences that were written in this article by Ross Dellinger that I would like to get to. Here is the first one. And I think this is one that has a lot of weight to it. He points out in the article that if there are to be changes in college football's playoff structure, Ross Dellinger said it is believed right now to be unlikely that those changes will take place this year. It looks like we will have one more year of the playoff structure that we were under this year. That includes the automatic qualifiers. That includes the byes. That includes the byes going to the conference champions. According to Dellinger, it is most likely that no changes will take next year. Here's the second part of this article that I found very interesting. Dellinger writes, quote, "As part of an agreement struck last spring, the Big Ten and Southeastern Conference believe they have authority over any change to the playoff format starting with the 2026 postseason, the first of a new six-year extension for the CFP. Changes for the 2025 playoff, unlikely at this point, will require unanimity amongst the 10 FBS conference commissioners and Notre Dame's athletic director." Dellinger goes on to write, quote, "While executives agreed on a future revenue distribution model last spring, weighted heavily for the SEC and Big Ten, a future format was not finalized, but certain protections were agreed upon, including an automatic spot for the five highest-ranked conference champions, a 12 or 14-team field, and qualification guarantees for independents like Notre Dame related to their place in the rankings," end quote. "The expectation is that after this meeting, and when all of the commissioners get together in Dallas sometime in March, they believe that there will be a format proposed that will assign multiple AQs to single conferences. There is a discussion about the 14-team model that would designate four AQ teams from the SEC and four from the Big Ten, two AQs to the ACC and the Big 12, one to the best group of five champion, and one at large intended for Notre Dame if it finishes ranked inside the top 14. If Notre Dame is not inside the top 14, the next highest ranked team after the AQs are selected would get the nod. It is being described as the very easy to remember 4-4-2-2-1+1 model, which is only what we'll call it from now on
the
show.
Yeah, of course. It takes a while to get there, but you got to be accurate. Why does Notre Dame get that special treatment? If somebody else drops out of a conference and declares themselves independent, do they automatically get the Notre Dame treatment?
Here's the problem. And we've talked about this in the past, and it's a very fair question to ask.
I'm talking when it pertains to this.
No, I know, and I'm going to answer the question for you. We'll start with the setup. What if somebody drops out of a Power Four conference and says, we're independent now? The answer is can't do it. Can't afford to do it. You don't have that money. There is the reason Notre Dame exists. I had this conversation over the weekend on social media. The reason Notre Dame exists as an independent is very simple. Because they started that way, they got the NBC deal way back in the day. They got the NBC deal at a point that conference affiliation was not worth tens of, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. And so because they got this NBC deal, and Notre Dame has, and you may not love it, doesn't matter. Notre Dame has a brand valuation. I don't know where it ranks in the grand scheme of things. I know it's one of the highest brand valuations in America. This is kind of like, to draw a comparison, because I always make things about me. I had a conversation with the Madre the other day. You want to hear the funniest things, though? You'll appreciate this. The mom was watching the college football national championship the other night. And because my mom is a good mom and gasses me up, she goes, "Who are these clown play-by-play announcers on this game?" I was like, "Who are the Reese Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit? Like, these guys are, they've been doing this a long time." Or Chris Davis, whoever was doing it.
You said Reese Fowler. It's Chris Fowler.
Chris Fowler.
I mean, they're basically the same guy. Chris Fowler was making all kinds of mistakes, though.
Don't know. Wasn't watching. I am now officially, I am taking my talent to every game should have a Skycam no play-by-play option. Every game should have that. I'm not saying you have to watch it. I'm saying it should be available. I watched that natty. In fact, we're going to make this a segment later on because I loved it. I watched that natty via the Skycam. No play. It's the audio feed from the stadium. You get crowd noise, you get the bands, and you get a live pipe to the stadium PA announcer.
Jeremiah Love on the carry, 4 yards, tackled by number 13.
Like, it's great. It's great.
Or boring, depending on your perspective.
I think it's fantastic. So she sends me the text, and she's like, who are these clowns calling this game? They're terrible. I've never heard a broadcast like this. And I'm like, it's the same as every, it's the same two guys that do every big game. What are you talking about? She's like, no. She's like, these guys are like weird. They're like yelling and blah, 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 blah.
She had it on the wrong.
She was watching the McAfee broadcast,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
Now, here's why I bring that up. Talking about brand valuation. I have said, and you can check with Zoe, you can check with the boss down the hall, something I have wanted to do for a very long time is do game simulcast where I literally bring a couch into the studio, put a game on that TV, and me and some of the fellas, and we would get local celebrities and local, you know, Triumph and Swamp Rabbit and Drive players and other broadcasters and whatever, people, random folks around the sports community of the upstate to come in, sit on a couch with me, and we just watch a game mic'd up and have a ball. This is the McAfee pod. That's what I've been proposing for years, is the McAfee alternate broadcast. And my madre, when I said, oh, yeah, that's the McAfee broadcast, I think it's great. She's like, well, why haven't you done something like that? Real simple. Because I, even though I've had that idea for a very long time, I don't have the brand power to have convinced anybody to let me. It's real simple. That's all it comes down to. And I know it's a great idea because, again, they're doing it. I've told her, as I've told you guys on the air, I have had the idea of a McAfee-style podcast broadcast for a very long time, but nobody's ever signed off on it. McAfee got him to because he had this badass brand power behind him because he can't, and I'm not disparaging him for it. Go get the bag, young man. I love it. I love that McAfee is opening the door to broadcasters in this game because for so long, I got told, Rob, temper yourself, be more professional, quiet down, button it up. And now I'm like, dude, the most listened to and highest paid broadcaster in the sports game is just a bro, just a meathead. I'm here for it, right? But I have the brand power. McAfee's Notre Dame. I can't go to anybody and get them to sign on because I don't have that brand power. McAfee does. He can do everything he wants. That's Notre Dame. They got in the game so early. Why would they go independent? Ohio State got about $27 million worth of bonuses for playing in that national championship game. You know where that money went? To the Big Ten to be split up in revenue sharing amongst the conference. Notre Dame got about $27 million for playing in that national championship. You know where that money went? Notre Dame! They got to keep every dollar that they made. Ohio State had to split it up amongst, what, 18 other teams? 17 other teams? Which one of those would you rather be? The team that got the exact same opportunity and got to keep all 27 milli, or the team that got the same opportunity and had to give away like 14 of it. I mean, seems like an easy choice to me. All right, we'll talk more about this Ross Dellinger article when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Thank you. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Working through some of the information we got about this meeting between the athletic directors of the Southeastern Conference and the Big Ten taking place February 19th in New Orleans, Louisiana. That is about a week ahead of the next big college football playoff directors meeting, which will take place a handful of hundred miles to the west in Dallas about a week after that. There's some more information that came out of this. We started with the big one, which is there is discussion of a 14-team playoff, which of course would shift to two teams getting a bye. The rest of the teams would obviously all play a round one. There's some questions I have. Is it going to be proposed that the SEC champ and the Big Ten champ both get a bye and everybody else is playing? And I'll tell you why I bring that up. I bring that up because while that places an added and additional benefit for the Big Ten and the SEC conference championship game, if this is the case, and again, I don't know that it is. I've only seen it floated. As of right now, all we have are a bunch of anonymous sources and quite a bit of speculation from big-headed weirdos with microphones like me. But if they do propose a 14-team model, again, I think the march to 16 is inevitable. 16, no buys. Feels like that's the direction we're going. But if we go to 14, two teams catching a bye, my question mark becomes, would the two teams on the bye auto be the SEC and the Big Ten champion? And I do have a problem with that. I do have a problem with that. The problem that I have, and it's not even about football per se. The problem that I have with that is this. You create a world. We've talked about it many times this week, many times last week. Somebody, and I think Madcraft was in this group, but there were a couple of people who were proposing a couple of different things that would impact the conference championship game. One of the things that I've seen is a proposal to add the conference championship games into the playoffs, right? Like, just have the ACC title game between SMU and Clemson be a playoff game. Just have the SEC championship game be a playoff game. There's a handful of reasons that's not going to work. There's a bunch that are kind of football and bracket related. There's only one reason that matters. And that reason that matters is conference championship games are gigantic money makers for the conferences, right? They get the full payout of the television contract. They get the full payout of the gate. They get the full payout of the merch. All of those things, that's conference revenue. And you may or may not have figured this out at this point, but the conferences that aren't the SEC and the Big Ten are fighting for their lives right now, right? If you're not one of the big two, the power two, you are fighting for your life to the point that I still think there is, down the line, the possibility for the Big 12 and the ACC, depending on what happens with the Florida State and Clemson lawsuits, there is the potential down the line for the ACC and the Big 12 to ultimately join each other, much like the Big 12 and the SEC have done, and just try to create a secondary relevant conference. For now, it's not going to happen. And the plan of doing anything with the conference championship games to include them in the playoffs isn't going to happen, because if you do that, what happens? The conferences then cede the money-making ability of those conference championship games to the playoff committee. Unless the playoff committee says, we'll make them part of the playoffs, but we're not going to touch it. We're not going to come in. We're not going to take revenue. You can keep the full television contract. But, like, really, what's the likelihood that the college football playoff committee is going to see money on the table and leave it there? Probably 0% would be my guess. So that's not going to fly. So let's take it back to where we were just a second ago. The reason that I would have a problem if a 14-team playoff model featured a Big Ten and an SEC champion getting the bye. The problem I have is this. Remember the conversation we've had the last couple of weeks about conference championship games and how these conference championship games, by and large, don't mean anything in the 12-team playoff, right? Ohio State didn't play for theirs. They won the Natty. Notre Dame doesn't have one. They played for the Natty. The Oregon Ducks won theirs and had a more difficult path to the playoff than Penn State, who lost theirs, made it further than the Ducks did the Nittany Lions. Rivalry games, outside of sentimental reasons, pride. We're going to talk about this later. Outside of sentimental reasons, pride, rivalry games, if you are a top team in college football, don't really mean anything, right? Not in the sense of actual addition to the program. Ryan Day and the Buckeyes lost to Michigan. Then they won a national championship. I've asked the question 100 times. Dan Patrick asked it on his show yesterday. If I told you right now, hell, we can do this with Lonzo. He's an Ohio State fan. So I'll tell you right now, you're losing to Michigan next year, but you are guaranteed not to win a spot in the national championship game. Do you take that deal? The football genie, The magical time traveling football genie says, I am from the future, and I can tell you right now, you have the opportunity. You will lose to Michigan, but a loss to Michigan guarantees you not a natty, but a spot in the natty game. Are you taking that deal?
Because that's not what you said. You said it doesn't guarantee you one. If it does, yeah, I'm taking it.
You're damn right you are.
Yeah, but I'm not everybody, so, I mean.
You're damn right you are. And you're right, you're not everybody.
I wonder, a lot of memes about those fans hiding.
Oh, hell yeah. Real quiet today. A lot of folks spent a lot of time Monday night scrubbing the social media from the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, for sure. So the point here is those games don't mean a lot anymore. I mean, they do. They mean a lot to the fans. You always want to beat the rival. We do, sure. But in the grand scheme of the quest for glory that lasts and echoes into the ages, they just don't. Conference championship games. If you are the top teams, like Oregon and Penn State were, if you're in that mix, conference championship games don't really mean anything. They don't really mean anything. Both teams from the Big Ten got in, plus another team all got in. Two teams that did not play for the Big Ten championship got in. One of those two won the Natty. So if you create this world where the SEC and the Big Ten champs get a bye, what happens? Well, now the Southeastern Conference championship game means a lot. Now the Big Ten championship game means a lot. The ACC championship game does not mean as much. There's not as much of a prize on the end. Sure, you get a guaranteed slot in the playoffs. And sure, there may be years down the line where neither team in an ACC title game is guaranteed a spot unless they win the thing. And a lot of years where the team that loses the ACC title game, as would have been the case with Clemson this year, Clemson loses the ACC title game, they are not going to the playoffs, right? But if there was a bye on the line, the SEC and the Big Ten games matter even more. And forget what they matter in terms of the football teams, the playoffs, the bracketing, the seeding.
Keep talking about the bye, but the bye is everyone with the bye this year lost.
Let me come back to that, because I've heard that and I have evaluated a couple of times, and I think we may have been a bit aggressive with the buys don't matter talk, and I'll make that argument in a minute. But when it comes to these title games, forget the bye. I'll tell you where the advantage lies. The advantage lies in this. Lonzo, you are now the executive director of ZSPN, the Zoe Sports and Entertainment Network. And you have an opportunity right now. I'm going to give you the option to put one of these two games on TV. And your multi-million dollar a year check plus bonuses ride on this. On getting the maximum television ratings possible. You have two games that you can elect for. You can elect for the ACC title game, which features, I don't know, let's say, well, hell, let's just use this past year. Clemson versus SMU. Clemson's going to the playoffs only if they get a win. SMU likely only going to the playoffs if they get a win, though there is the chance they backdoor their way in as the last team, which is what happened. So I'll give you the ACC title game with Clemson over here against SMU. Or I will give you the SEC title game with Texas taking on Georgia. Both of these teams are definitely going to the playoff no matter what. Definitely going. The winner of this game is going to catch the bye. Now let's take the glasses that shade the conversation off that maybe the buys hurt after this past year, and let's treat the buy the way we have treated the buy up until 3 weeks ago when all the buy teams lost, right? Let's assume that it is more the way it is traditionally and that the buy is actually a helpful thing. If I said, Zoe, that you get to select one of these two games to put on your network and your multi-billion dollar contract rides on it, Are you taking the ACC title game of Clemson versus SMU with the winner getting in, not on a bye, and the loser maybe getting bounced, definitely if they're Clemson? Or are you taking the SEC game where both Texas and Georgia are going, but the winner gets a bye?
But you're going Texas, Georgia, but more so because of brand than you are.
No, I'm going with this year's championship games. This was this year's championship game.
Again.
Oh, you're saying you're picking them because of the brand.
Right.
Sure.
I mean, more national appeal than the other one.
So, with that being and I agree with that as well. That is absolutely.
I'm guessing a lot of people had no idea SMU was in the ACC.
Well, keep in mind, SMU v. Clemson was the lowest rated television broadcast game in the playoffs, and it got like something like 10 million viewers less than the most watched college football games of the year. Partially because of the brand, partially because they put it up against an NFL game that day and it did not go well for college football. But I think the point here is the television valuation. If you were to give the SEC and the Big Ten champs both a bye for winning the SEC and the Big Ten championship game, two games that are already the two most valuable conference championship products become that much more valuable, which means television resources are going to fly over there. And what's going to happen is all of that TV money is going to go to the B1G and the SEC, and you're going to end up in the next handful of years having the ACC title game played on the CW. Because that's the only network willing to fork over money. All these other networks are going to pour all their resources into the other game. I don't think it's ever going to be that dramatic. But the point here is, this is kind of like when politicians enact all these laws and you go, that's a weird law. Why'd they put that into play? And then you find out shortly after that the author of that new bill that helps whatever business accomplish whatever objective, turns out that their biggest donor is the CEO of that company. Shocking how that works out. And wouldn't you know it, all of a sudden, that CEO has just made a sizable political contribution into the coffers of the author of that bill. If you continue to do stuff like this, all you're doing, and maybe some of you are okay with this. If you're an SEC fan, a Big Ten fan, maybe you're okay with this. But while I am pro-portal and pro-NIL, and I understand that many of you hate it and think it's ruining college football, we'll come back to that. I'll tell you, I think this is the biggest danger to college football. This continued drive, because you never pushed back on them to have any teeth in doing so now. This continued effort by the SEC and the Big Ten to increase their conference's value in the landscape of college football to the detriment of everybody else. It is not going to shock me if sometime down the line, the Big Ten and the SEC say, okay, 14-team model, two teams get a bye, we're going to hand out AQs to the next three highest rated teams from those two conferences. Then we'll hand out four AQs to the next four highest rated conference champs. We'll have an at-large for Notre Dame, an at-large for the group of five highest rated champ, blah, 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 blah. But the winner of the Big Ten title game and the winner of the SEC title game, they both get an automatic bye. Well, now there's more in those conference championship games. You're going to end up making them worth more than any other conference championship game in terms of what the winner receives on the field, which makes them more valuable in what the winner in those conferences receive off of the field. You were just putting your thumb on the scale and sliding more resources, revenue, cashola, dinero, pesos over to the two big ones. The rich get richer, and it becomes harder for everybody else who's not the richer to succeed in this landscape. And I think that's a problem. If you think there's a threat to college football, I don't think there is, other than the inevitable outcome to this if this is what ends up happening. Again, I'm speculating, but it seems common sense to me. If this is what ends up happening, I think the road we are traveling ends up in a spot where there are two conferences playing big-time college football, and everybody else is relegated to a second tier of college football, and we end up having two college footballs. And we see how that works out for everybody who tries to be a second tier to the NFL. That is to say, it doesn't ever. That's the threat to college football, not NIL, not the portal. It's the people in suits continuing to enrich themselves to the detriment of everybody else. Now, a guy who never wears a suit, but is the richest man in radio, Lonzo.
He left out rubles and Doge. The NFL head coaching will continues to spin, or in this case, stays put after a 14-3 season and disappointing wildcard round exit. The Minnesota Vikings have extended head coach Kevin O'Connell by multiple years. O'Connell considered working through the end of his contract next season, but has repeatedly expressed desires to stay with the team. Now he's gonna. The final AP College football top 25 dropped last night with national champions Ohio State on top and runners-up Notre Dame in second. Oregon finished third ahead of Texas and Penn State in top five. Georgia claims sixth, followed by Arizona State, Boise State, Tennessee, and Indiana in the top 10. SMU finished 12th, three spots ahead of ACC champions Clemson. Alabama was 17th, Miami 18th, and South Carolina finished the year at 19th. Soon this evening at 5:30, as the Furman Paladins, who are human, take on the VMI Keydets.